Well, turning your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1, we're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Daniel, and we started this several weeks ago. The book not only gives us great principles and truths about how we're to live in a fallen world, but it also gives us God's prophetic program for the world. Now, most people are interested in end-time events, but what we see is what we call God's program for the ages. We see the rise and fall of kingdoms and nations and how God's plan fits together. At the same time, we also see Daniel. As he takes a stand, he and his friends, but as he takes a stand as a believer in a pagan culture, in a fallen world, here he is, a believer in the coming Messiah, a man living according to the word of God, living according to the law of Moses and living by the scriptures, and he's now put into a culture that disregards every bit of that and wants to change him, and we'll see what he does. May we be excited as we study the book of Daniel, especially as we begin going verse by verse last week, but really get into chapter 1 this time. There is a saying that it is always right to do the right thing. You ever been confronted with the pull to do something that you know is wrong? And I'm not just talking about you by yourself, but maybe when you're with some friends or you're with some people and they want to do something that you know is wrong. I had a friend, and he was in his 30s, and he and a bunch of guys went on sort of like a retreat, but they went to somebody's house and they were all out there, and all the guys started smoking cigars. And my friend didn't smoke, but everybody was saying, "Hey, everybody, we're all smoking cigars. You got to smoke a cigar. Come on, everybody's got to smoke a cigar." And he was being pushed to smoke a cigar. And he finally said, I don't want to smoke a cigar, okay? Sometimes maybe you've been pressured. Sometimes people said, "Hey, everybody's drinking, drink. Everybody's doing drugs, do drugs." It's just a white lie. It's not a big lie. It's a white lie. Everybody gets the answers and cheats on these tests. We got these papers right here. We know the stuff. Nobody tells the truth all the time. This evening, Daniel and his friends are pressured to do something that would be against the word of God for them. And what we see is we see these boys stand for God's word. And so we could ask ourselves a question as we start. How are we doing? We live in a world in which if we decide to stand for the truths of the word of God, we're going to be contrary to what our world says. And are we living by the Bible? Are we shaped and pulled by the world? The book of Daniel is going to be a challenge to us because that's what it does. It challenges us and encourages us as we seek to stand for Christ. Well, let's get started. As we look this morning, let's think about, again, the background of the book of Daniel. And basically it's this. Daniel is a story of a young Hebrew boy taken into captivity of the Babylonian Empire some 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. The Babylonian Empire had come to power. The Assyrians had been the power. The Babylonians took them over, and they came in, and then they came down to Judah, the southern kingdom of the Jewish people. They attacked Jerusalem and conquered it. And in three different deportations, taking out people three different times, Daniel was taken out at the first time in 605 BC. God allowed the Babylonians to take Israel away. They had sinned and rebelled against God. The nation of Israel had turned away from God, worshiped false gods, and disobeyed Scripture, and God sent prophets to them. That's when you read people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, Micah, those books. They're all prophets telling the nation of Israel, turn back to God or he will remove you from the land. See, the land is Israel's, but they get to live in the land if they're obedient. They are taken out of the land if they're disobedient. They were disobedient, and God took them out. Daniel is a young boy, and he is taken out to captivity, led to Babylon. I want you to realize that the first six chapters of Daniel interprets other people's dreams, and those dreams all deal with end-time events, and we're going to see those. And then in chapter 7 through 12, Angel interprets Daniel's dreams, and we'll see how that fits together as well. Now, we saw last time the fall. I want you to look at verses 1 and 2 of Daniel chapter 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is a king, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. When you think of Babylon today, that's Iraq. And Baghdad is very near where what we'd say the city of Babylon was. And it says the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. They took and went to the temple of God and took all the things out. And it says he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought them the vessels of the treasury of his God. I want you to understand something. The Babylonians didn't defeat Israel. God allowed this. God raised up the Babylonians to come in and capture his people. God gave his people into the hands of this nation. When you read the scripture, that's what you see. Now, let me show you something. When you think about the Babylonians, this is Jerusalem, and this is modern-day Israel. This, of course, is Egypt. Here is Iraq. Here is Babylon, which now Baghdad is right in that region. Nineveh is way up there. This is where Baghdad is today. This was the capital. They came in, got these people, and took them all this way to there. And that's where the Babylonian Empire is when we're studying the book of Daniel. Now, the Babylonians are going to fall in about 70 years to the Medo-Persians. And that's the Medes and the Persians are back over that way. And they're going to eventually come in and conquer this whole thing. Daniel's still going to be alive. In fact, Daniel is going to then be working in the government of the Medo-Persians. And we'll talk about that as we go through it. So here's what we're seeing. The theme of the book is that God is in control. That's why that was such a great song we just sang about God raising up kingdoms and setting them down, because God is in control. Now, let's look at verse 3. Here's what happened. The king ordered Ashpenazi, he's just one of the chief officials, to get some of the sons of royalty, including some of the royal family and the nobles, the youth in which there was no defect. They were good-looking. They were intelligent. They were wise. They had understanding and discernment, and they were going to get them and bring them in the king's court and to train them. And they decided that they would train them for 3 years. So Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's some Jewish guys, they were all taken off at ages 14 or 15 years old, took all the way to Babylon, and then they said, you're going to be in a training program because we think you're pretty smart. And we're going to train you, and at the end of 3 years, you'll get to serve the king Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians. That was the plan. That was what they were going to do. And so what they did for these young men was to change them. They changed their location. They gave them a different education. They gave them different names. We'll talk about that in just a second. They tried to even change their religion. That's what they wanted them to do. I want you to understand, they tried to really change them. Look at, they gave them new names. Daniel's name literally means God is judge. And they changed his name to Belshazzar, which means Prince of Baal, or Lady, protect our king. They changed his name. The other guy, which we name Hananiah, which means God is gracious, they changed his name to Shadrach. We know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They changed his name to Shadrach, which means I'm fearful of God. And then they took Mishael, who is as God, and changed his name to Meshach, which means I'm nothing. And then finally, Azariah, Lord is my helper, they changed his name to Abednego, which means servant of Nego. So what they did is they said, we're going to take you away. We're going to put you in a new land. We're going to give you a new language. We're going to give you a different education. We're even going to change your name. And the plan is you become like us, and we're going to just let you serve the king. There's a problem. The problem is Daniel is not going to be changed. Daniel believes in the true God of Israel and lives by the word of God, and he is not going to be changed by these people. Notice verse 8. Daniel made up his mind. See, they said, you're going to have certain food. In fact, because you're going to be trained to serve the king, we're going to give you the same food the king eats. We're going to give you good food and wine and everything else. Now, if you were there and you were a captive, you'd say, this is not bad being a captive. Not here. But Daniel says, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to eat that food. Under the Mosaic law, we don't eat that food. And that food's been offered to a god of the Babylonians, and I'm not going to eat it. So here's what he says. Daniel made up his mind, verse 8, that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Daniel made a decision that I'm not going to eat that. And he didn't just say, oh, by the way, I'm not going to eat that. He said, can I talk with you for a minute? I'd like to ask permission not to eat that. He's used in wisdom. Let me show you something. Daniel made a decision that he would not eat that food. His real decision was he would not go contrary to the Bible. That's a decision you have to make every day. Are you going to live by the Bible? You're going to live by the world. Daniel made a decision that he was going to live by the Bible. And by the way, this is not a decision Daniel made when he was confronted. It was a decision he made before the test came. You understand that when you are challenged to go contrary to the word of God, you don't make that decision when the challenge comes. You have to have made the decision that you're going to live according to the Bible long before the test comes. You make a decision on the front end that you're going to live by the scripture, whatever. When we decide to stand for Christ, we make that decision. Listen, we must decide beforehand how we're going to live and what we're going to do. You cannot wait till that exact moment. You cannot say, I don't know whether I will have sexual relations outside my marriage. I hadn't even decided. You can't make that decision when the challenge has come. If you've decided that you're not going to do something that you know is wrong, you can't wait till that happens and say, oh, I don't know whether I'm going to do this or not. You have to decide beforehand. You decide now how you're going to live and what you're going to do. Can't wait till the challenge comes. We must decide beforehand. And Daniel had decided, he had made up his mind when that food was offered to him, or he was said, this is the food you're going to eat. He says, I can't eat that food because I've lived by the Bible my whole life, and I'm going to continue to live by the Bible my whole life, ever how long it's going to be, and I am not going to eat that food. You and I have to make the same decisions. Are we going to live by the Bible? Have you decided that you're going to live by the scripture, or are you going to let this world decide what you do? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have the grow groups that meet in here. We just talked about this verse in grow group this morning. Listen to this. We must be transformed from the inside out, that's through the word of God, rather than be conformed from the outside in. If we are not consciously being transformed by the word of God, we will unconsciously be conformed to this world. We talked about this in Grow Group this morning. If you're not consciously deciding that you're going to be transformed by the Bible, you will unconsciously be shaped and conformed to this world. We are conformed when we're controlled by the power without. That's the world. We are transformed when we're controlled by the power within. That's the word of God. Are we being shaped by the word of God? Are we being shaped by the world that we live in? Every one of you in this room, every one of us have to make that decision, have to decide. And you can decide now. You can't wait till the situations come. So when he said, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food, what was wrong with the food? Somebody could say, nothing wrong with that food, man. That's good stuff. No, it had been offered to pagan gods, and it was contrary to the Mosaic law. And Daniel said, I will not do it. Now, he's using wisdom because he went to the kind of the ruler there and asked permission. Now, let me show you something. We talked about this last week, but I want you to remember this. Three things. Number one, there are no small things. It may seem like a trivial matter. Daniel, they could just say to Daniel, it doesn't matter. Just eat it. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Who cares whether you eat steak or whether you eat green beans? Who cares? The Bible is to be obeyed. Now, because see, he was under Mosaic law. We're not under Mosaic law. So that's a whole different issue. But the Bible, there are commands and principles and truths from the Bible that we're to obey. And there are no little ones. We can't say that doesn't really count, but this one does. There are no small things. We cannot be affected by our peers. Daniel was not affected by his peers. What if some of the other people, and they probably did, they came to Daniel and they said, Daniel, don't rock the boat, man. Listen, we got it made. We've been picked out. We're getting training. Look at the food we get. The rest of the people don't get this food. What do you mean? You don't rock the boat. Be like all the rest of us. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. What about when you go off to college? And you've had a way to live when you live with your family, but now you're off at college and nobody's checking on you. And people say to you, hey, it doesn't matter. Your folks will never know. Listen, grow up. Do this. It doesn't matter. Everybody else is doing it. And the third thing is he trusted God and he was not shaped by the world. They could change his name. They could change his education. They could change his language, but they couldn't change his God. And they couldn't change his beliefs on what he held to. So remember, there aren't any little things, and we don't need to be pulled by the pressure, and we got to trust God and not this world. So what did he do? He used wisdom. Look what it says again in verse 8. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So what did he do? He didn't demand, I'm not eating that food. No, he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. He used wisdom in dealing with the unbelieving world. He went to the guy and said, this guy's name is Ashpenaz. He says, if it's okay with you, I'd rather not eat that. I would rather eat vegetables. That's what how they're using the word. It means stuff from the ground. And look what happened. Now, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. God granted him favor. See, God's working through all of this. And here's what the commander said. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, verse 10, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youth of your own age? Then he'd make me forfeit my head to the king. He said, listen, I understand that you don't want to eat that food. But listen, I'm in charge of this whole thing. And if the king comes in and you look bad and everybody looks good. And he says, why are these people looking bad? And I say, well, I let them eat what they want to eat. He's going to cut my head off. So I'm sorry. I appreciate you asking. But no, you have to eat the food. Some people would say, well, we tried. We tried to live by the Bible, but it didn't work. We tried. Daniel could have said it, but no, he's not through. Look what he does. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Listen, this man named Ashpenaz was over the whole project. But then there was another person. It says here that to the overseer, it's the word Melzar. Some people actually think that's somebody's name. The New American Standard translate this overseer, and some people think this name was Melzar. Some people think the word Melzar means overseer. Nobody knows for sure. So, but Daniel went to this other man, and he said, hey, I got a deal for you. What's the deal? Please test your, verse 12, please test your servants. For 10 days, let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, in the presence of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. I got a deal. Would you give us 10 days? For 10 days, let us eat what we want to eat. And then after 10 days, you look at us and see if we're looking better or worse than the rest of these people. And then you make a decision. He's using great wisdom. He knows how to deal with those over him. Let me tell you, when we deal with people, in our world, we need to know how to deal with them in wisdom, especially when we're thinking about sharing our faith. We need to use wisdom when dealing with the world. Look what it says in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. That means unbelievers. Making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace. In other words, be careful how you talk, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. When we deal with the unbelieving world, we've got to deal with it in a certain way. And these four boys, Daniel and his three friends, are standing together. These four boys will be four great men, because they've decided and they've used wisdom, and they basically said, give us a chance to show you what we're going to do. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think 10 days of eating certain food is going to make them look a lot better or look a lot worse? We'd say, no, I mean, you could eat for 10 days and this and 10 days. You're not going to be able to tell much difference unless God is working. Watch what happens. So he listened to them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better. And they were fatter than all the youths had been eating the king's choice food. The Hebrew word there for fatter actually means they were healthier looking. They looked better. At the end of 10 days, you could look at them and go, golly, y'all look good. These people don't look that good. And so he looked at it, and so the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them the vegetables. By the way, this was a supernatural work of God. He's protecting them. He's given them the opportunity to live by the Bible, because this guy finally said, well, okay, you can eat whatever you want to eat. You don't have to eat that other food. And for some of us, when people read something like this, they go, what's the big deal? The big deal is Daniel going to live by the scripture or Daniel going to live by the world? And the big deal for every one of us in this room, are we going to live by the scripture or are we going to live by the world? And that's what it comes down to. We have to make some decisions. He didn't have to go contrary to the scripture. Now watch. You know, it's just amazing about all of this. When you see it and how it fits together, look what happened. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Now, what God did, as these young men studied, remember, there's a whole group of them that have been captured, and they're all in this process of a 3-year study time period. While they're studying, God gives these four guys extra knowledge. Wouldn't you wish that when you're in college that God would come in, I'm going to give you a lot of extra knowledge. You'll be a lot better than all those around you. But that's what happened. All of a sudden, they know the language better. They know the history better. They have wisdom on putting it together better. They're doing things there. All of a sudden, they're the best students in this whole thing. He gave them wisdom and knowledge. And then it says, Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. I want you to understand that vision is something that happens when you're awake. That's information from God. When you're awake, you see a vision. A dream is when God gives you information when you're asleep. Now, you're saying, well, why in the world? Why? Because God is going to reveal to his people through Daniel and through the vision and dreams the future events involving the nation of Israel. God is going to take Daniel, and he's going to help Daniel understand the future. And in the next couple of weeks, 2 to 3, 4 weeks from now, we're going to be looking at the dreams that God gave to certain people that Daniel was able to interpret that gives us the timeline of all history, even to the future that hadn't happened yet. You're going to be able to see it because God has given this ability to Daniel, and it's recorded in this book. Think about this. When we get ready to serve God and when we serve him, God gives us the ability and the power to serve him. Think about it. He gives us the ability, which is spiritual gifts. Every one of us in this room who know Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift that you can serve. And then he gives us the power, which is the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so look what happened. At the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander, the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. Do you realize the top students, they got to be questioned by the king himself. And look what it says. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. The king said, I've never found anybody like you. I don't know how y'all know all the answers to all my questions and all these things and the things about the Chaldeans, which I didn't think you could learn this fast. You guys are better than anybody else in this whole class. I want you to serve me personally. Now, out of all these Hebrew boys, these four get picked to serve the king of Babylon, and they hold to the scripture. They were brilliant. They were brilliant. They entered the personal service. Now, look what he goes on to say. As far as the matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the conjurers in his realm. Now, they had magicians. They called them magicians and conjurers. Magicians actually is the word for record keepers. These were people who kept the records, but they told the future by magic. They would do spells and things. They would come to the king, and they would say, okay, here's what's going to happen because this burned up here and this did over here. They did magic. They were some called conjurers, but the really word, the word for conjurer means astrologers. They told the future by the stars. They would go out, they would look at the stars, they would come back to the king, and they would tell the future based on the stars. And so it says that Daniel and his four friends were 10 times better than any of these other people that he had working for him already. And so we're going to see what happens. And then the chapter ends. Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. I want you to understand, Daniel worked in the Babylonian Empire for 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, the Medo-Persians captured the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel was captured and stayed with the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus was the king of Persia. And he worked even for Cyrus, king of Persia. His whole life was spent outside of Jerusalem, and he served pagan kings. Can we serve and live for God in a fallen world? The answer is yes. If Daniel can live by the scripture in a pagan culture of the Babylonians and then the Medo-Persians and be used by God in mighty ways. Every one of us in this room can live in this fallen culture, and we can stand according to the word of God, and we can make an impact for Jesus Christ even now. We can do that. And that's what Daniel did. Let me give you some applications, okay? The first is this. I wanted to tell you that at the end, we see the sovereign plan of God working in all this, and we see that Daniel is obedient to the word. They go together. God is working. Daniel is obedient. That's the key. We realize that God is working in our lives, but we have to be obedient. So let me give you some applications. First of all, let's realize that sin brings discipline and judgment. The nation of Israel got taken into captivity because they refused to obey God and they refused to live by the Bible, and God took them off. Same thing in our lives as believers. Sometimes when we sin and we keep sinning, sometimes God disciplines us. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every child he receives. So just realize that when we get away from the scripture and we choose to disobey, many times there's going to be discipline. The second application, this is the key, is we want to decide, let's decide that we're going to stand for Jesus Christ now based on the word of God. Can't wait. Can't wait till the situation comes. Can't wait till the test comes. You got to decide now that you're going to live by the Bible and how you're going to live. The world will try to brainwash you. The world will try to conform you to the goals and the values and the patterns of this world. So I want you to remember, there are no trivial areas. The Bible is the Bible. Obey the scripture. There's going to be pressure. It's going to come. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, well, everybody else does this. It doesn't matter. Who said that's really right? We don't believe that anyway. You're going to be pressured by the people around you to live like this culture. And last but not least, you got to be transformed by the word of God. Transformed by the word, not conformed by the world. There will be blessings when you stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world. Now, I got another one. It's this. No matter what the situation, God can use you. He can use us. He used Daniel in a pagan culture for his whole life. He can use us. And I always say this, be faithful. Let's do what God says. Let's be available to be used, and let's be teachable. Never stop growing and learning. So that matter, no matter where God puts us, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can make an impact for Christ. He can use us. Where are you now? Is your life being used for the glory of God? When we deal with this fallen world, do we use wisdom like Daniel did when we deal with the unbelievers? Last but not least, trust God in the trials and circumstances of life. He's in control of all the events, whether it seems like it or not. God is preparing Daniel when Daniel goes through this. If you said to Daniel, do you want to go to a pagan nation, learn all their stuff, and serve their king? He would say, of course not. But that's where God had him. And so he became the best student he could be. God raised him up and God used him for 70 to 80 years as a godly man that influenced the world and gave us information that stretches all the way to the end times. Don Campbell passed away. He was the president of Dallas Seminary for a while. He wrote a book about Daniel, and he called the name of the book Dare to Be a Daniel. And he wrote these words. He said, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. May we live by God's word, standing for Christ, knowing that he can use us in this fallen world.